forth a word, dear Jesus, that's been laid on his heart, dear Lord. Let it become with clarity. Again, let us be in position to receive it, dear Lord. Let it be active in our life, dear Lord. Let us move according to what the Spirit is saying yes. on this day.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we pray and we thank you. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we also have coffee and food. Abigail brought
after.
Amen.
Don't go now.
Fresh coffee.
Don't go now.
Yeah, don't go now. Put your mic on, Pastor. Put your mic
Thank
on.
Thank you.
Amen. And you're live everywhere, Pastor.
All right. Elohim Tov. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazma.
Kol Hazma.
Elohim Tov.
All right. God is good all the time. Praise God.
God is good.
So this is incredible times we're living in.
Yeah.
I hope you're excited.
Yeah.
It's like I'm as excited as the group waiting by the Red Sea. You're not excited. You're like, I wonder what's going on. We're excited, but I mean, we should be excited, but not absolutely knowing the future makes us kind of start worrying, like, you know, what are we gonna do about this big ocean in front of us? You know, are the Egyptians still coming? Ooh. You know, it's like, I trust God. You know, because you want to appear to be strong.
Yeah.
And Lord is telling me, like, this morning that you guys are like at the door. This is like one of the greatest times in the history of Christianity,
yes.
where you have been of the people who are experienced the last days, and you're the people who will experience the coming of Jesus Christ,
yes.
and you're the people who will experience the rapture, and yet you're at the door, you're at the precipice of watching a sea get parted right in front of you. And a lot of us are still kind of scared, because until you actually split it and we step in there and we know that the ground is dry and we can walk across, we will not praise your name. But the truth of the matter is sometimes you have to praise God before the circumstances happen, okay? Because I'm praising God. I've been praising God, like I said on Wednesday, for the rapture. I've just been praising him for the excellent food that's going to be there. I'm a big guy, Lord. And I want to thank you for all my friends. I want to thank you for being able to see my mom again. I want to thank you for shocking my neighbors, because they will not listen to me. They're like, you're a nut. What do you mean disappear? So thanking God for the whole thing. And you know, Pastor Ben, did you get my flyer?
I did not. I was planning
on having
it today.
You got the email though, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. So okay, we'll get it later. I mean, because I got a flyer I'm trying to give to each one of my neighbors, to just let them know, hey, things are about to change. I'll be gone if you don't decide to accept Christ. Mm-hmm. But here's what happened.
Yeah.
So basically, that's what I'm trying to do. Because I don't want to leave, and then the neighbors go, what happened? And then they go, oh, the guy at that address was a Christian. He could have told us. He never said nothing to me. He never said nothing to me.
Right.
And it's like, I don't want that on my conscience while I'm dancing in heaven, right? So, huh?
Amen.
You've left notes all over the house? Good. See, that's good. Because people need to know, you know, I mean, where are the eggs? You know, which all kind of stuff. Because we don't realize the times that we're living in, even though the Bible is very plain and shows us exactly where we're at, right?
Right.
All of history shows us exactly where we're at. The way the enemy is acting right now is showing us exactly where we're at, okay?
Yeah.
So with all of us, we should be excited, but God is not mad at you if you're not excited, because God knows that we are sheep and we are on earth and we are in physical bodies.
Yeah.
You got this sound?
Yeah, she said she didn't think the mic's on.
And we have physical bodies and we're waiting to see our faith come true. Hope, right? The ladies that were in their Bible study talking about Jesus coming, and who did he call out to walk on the water? Peter? Was it Peter?
It was Peter.
And Peter walked out on the water, and then he took his eyes off Jesus and guess began to look at the waves and everything, and he sunk. And nobody ever gives Peter the credit for even walking out there.
Right.
You know, we just say, ah, he had no faith. He got out there and then he took his eyes off Jesus. And we find so many negative things to say about each other.
Amen.
That nobody ever gets to the real good part, right?
Right.
It's like call himself a pastor. I remember him when he was, that's what people say, right?
Right.
And a lot of us know we wouldn't have stepped out of that boat anyway. It'd be like, Jesus be like, come on out. You'd be like, nah. Black women be like, I just got my hair did. But it'd be like, no way, we not walking out there. And me, you know, I can swim, but I'm not the best. I probably been like, nah, I'm cool. So God wants us to know, look, he is coming to save those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Not the super awake who don't wear masks because we know what's going on. And then we say, oh, those people still wearing masks. They don't understand the power of Christ.
Those are your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus.
95% of the media feeds into fear, okay? And we have to be sensitive to each other that we're all living here days or a month before we exit. And we're all born again Christians. We all believe in Jesus Christ. There is the deception that is going on, and it has deceived a lot of people. Someone sent me their pastor telling people, if you don't want to get the vax, don't even come to this church. He was a pastor. And he said, we welcome everybody that wants to do the right thing. And I went, wow. Like, is he just I don't know if he's on their side or if he's just deceived or what, but I was praying for him. I was like, he really, has bought onto the other side of telling people to do this. So we have to understand that the deception is over all of the world. It's not just us. Or the great awakened people, like we. I'm trying to find a way to love my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And listen, this is what the pastor said. He said, I can proudly say that almost all of our members have their vax. And I went,
proud.
And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of Christians, right? And then I began to think about the Christians that are telling other Christians, if you took it, you're no longer saved. You got the mark. And that would be a horrible thing for me. If I took it, I'd be like, really? I have no more chance for salvation? See, and that's a horrible thing because you can't make that decision and you can't make that judgment because you're not God. And it's not the mark. I already know that. But as Christians, sometimes we're so mean to each other that stuff comes out of our mouth so fast that we forget that you're talking to a brother or a sister in Christ. You're not talking to some stranger that did you wrong.
Right.
You're talking to a brother or sister in Christ who loves Jesus and wants to be saved and is scared. I watched last night firemen from Hawaii, and they've grouped together to say that they're not going to take this thing because it's not is not safe. And they told them if they don't, all of them are going to be fired. And so you have to understand the fear of not being able to take care of my family financially if I don't bow down to the statue. Mm-hmm. You understand? Yeah. You've got to understand the fear of that, because if we don't understand each other's fear, we're not going to be sensitive to each other's feelings.
That's right.
And so he was in tears because he said, it took me a long time to be a fireman. He said, it's a hard job to get into. And for some of us, he said, this is our dream job. We wanted to be firemen since we were kids. And now they're telling us we can't if we don't do this. That's a lot to put on people. But we're all living in this modern day Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Let's go to the book of Daniel. Chapter 3. Gotta get my... I'm just gonna grab my glasses here, Pastor Ben. Did it? Okay. All right. First thing I want you to know is God does not, I'm going to read the scripture first and then I'll tell you. This is what James chapter 1 verse 13 says. You don't have to go there. I'm going to read it off my page. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. Okay? So God doesn't tempt anyone to do evil.
Amen.
But if I read the next verse that the Lord had me write down here, in Deuteronomy 29 verse 5, it says, you shall remember the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness for 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, rather you would keep his commandments or not. So it seems that God does allow testing, but he will not tempt you with evil. You understand? If some old boyfriend calls you that saw you in the yearbook and he just decided he wanted to call you because he used to have a crush, that is not God testing you. Okay? That is not God testing you. That is temptation from Satan. And then he ain't saved. So you know that's not God. So you know how to handle that. Right. Okay? Right. God will not test you to do evil. I mean, I accidentally found a marijuana joint.
Accidentally?
It was accidental. I was just by my friend's house and they dropped one in the bag. And I was like, God is testing me. God's like, I have nothing to do with that. First of all, you're not supposed to be here. So understand, God doesn't test you to do evil. I mean, tempt you to do evil, but he will test you, okay, to see where you stand with him. God tested me to see if I would still follow him even if I lost my job.
Right.
It was a test. And the first couple of times, I failed miserably. It's because I'm black. He's like, no, when we woke you up, we fired you. You were sleeping.
Well, yeah.
So it wasn't because I was black.
Because you were asleep.
It was because I was asleep. But I was, went right there because you got to pull the card.
There you go.
It's your only chance. So understand. Testing is allowed. This whole thing that's going on is a test. And it's not a test to see whether how awake you are and how strong you will be in Christ and all of this stuff, because God knows you're a sheep and you're living in a deceptive land, okay? So God has to have mercy on you. Because deception is big. Okay. Are you in Daniel chapter 3? Verse 1. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. Now, I'm going to say it in what it would be in the New King James. It was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. Okay, so if yours says 90, that's the English version of feet, okay? But the cubits is 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. So that's 2 sixes right there, okay? And he said, and he set it up on the plain in Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satrap and perfect govern and prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, and magistrates, and all of the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it. Then the herald aloud proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do. O people, nations, men of every language, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all of the people, nations, men of every language." We're talking about a worldwide thing. Remember, Babylon is ruling the world.
Right.
"Of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At that time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and the pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whosoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace.'" Okay, now, we got 6 cubits high, 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide. Look how many instruments, a horn, a flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, six instruments. So this is a 666 thing that's going on here in Babylon. You understand? Is it by accident that God made sure that it was a 666 thing going on here? Because Babylon is still Babylon.
Right.
Babylon has never really been destroyed. So understand this. Babylon is here. It's the same Babylon. They're using the same 666. Look at this. 2019 COVID, Microsoft patent 060606. And what are they telling you? "I am commanding every person and language throughout the whole world to obey this." So God is just repeating a history that the world has experienced. But you're living in the last Babylon. That was the early Babylon. You're still being commanded to do what? Do what the king says. The one who is, Nebuchadnezzar is the one who is defending Lucifer. He is defending the kingship of Lucifer. This is what his name is, of Nebal, this demon. He's defending him to make sure that he remains king. And he's telling you, you better worship and do exactly what they said or else. And he's not saying just the people that are living in the area of Babylon. He's in charge of every language, every people throughout the world. When you hear it, you better bow down. So are we in the same situation or not?
Yes.
It's everybody in the whole world. I'm seeing this guy in Hawaii. I'm seeing people in New Zealand. I'm seeing everyone in the whole world is saying, either do it or you'll lose your income, or you'll lose this, or you can't go there, or you can't travel here. Some Christians have done this just so that they can travel and do speaking engagements. Because without it, they can't travel and do their speaking engagement. So they took it so they can travel and do their speaking engagement. Now, as a awake, born again Christian, do I go, you're no faith? I can't say that. All I can do is pray for him. Because I'm trying to explain to you what the Lord is saying to me. They're using this as a divisive unit between Christians and Christians. To say, I'm awake and you're not. I'm saved because I'm awake and you're not. And it doesn't make you, you know what I believe? Look, I believe this. When Peter stepped out on the water, everybody said he looked at the sea and all that, and then he got afraid and he sunk, right? I think Peter walked out, took a few steps, and started going, hey, look at what I'm doing. And soon as he did that, right in the water. Because soon as you start thinking, because you're so much more than someone else is, that's why you're more saved than someone else is, you're making a mistake. You're not walking on that water. That's not your faith. That's the faith God has placed inside of you to give you the strength to say, I'm going to go on. I'm going to do what I have to. I'm waiting for Jesus, right? Some people, I'm waiting for Jesus and I'm scared. Okay.
Yeah.
My brother is scared. My sister is scared. But for you to sit there and argue with somebody over the fact whether they did it or not, or they don't want to do it or not, or they're wearing a mask and you're not wearing a mask, and I'm tired of you guys being so brainwashed. Who's calling their brother and sister brainwashed? But Satan is using this whole end time matter to turn us against each other. Nobody just says, you know, I'm praying for you, sister.
Right.
I'm praying for you. If I had cool masks like Sensational and I was a lady, I'd wear me a cool mask. You know what I mean? I may not be scared. I just look good. So I'm just telling you guys, it's a time to stick together. It's not a time to be divisive. You understand?
Right.
It's going to happen. All the evidence is on our side that the rapture is going to happen. And so, as it's happening, we don't want to be discouraging people and telling people they're not saved because they're not as strong as we are.
That's right. Amen.
Okay, let's continue this. I'm in verse 12. But there are some Jews who you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your God nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought forward before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them. Now remember, these three men had been given high positions in Babylon because of Daniel. They had good jobs. They had a lot to lose. They had a lot to lose. But they're at the point of saying, I'm either going to worship my God or I'm going to obey the 666. And maybe they're like the awake strong Christians, right? They're not watching all the bad news on television. They're not, you know, they haven't bought into Nebuchadnezzar. They're thinking Jesus, Jesus, because I'm telling you, too much TV will take your eyes off Jesus in a second. You cannot continually watch that stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like being at the Red Sea, I said, and every commercial is saying what's going to eat you as soon as you get in the water. By the time the Egyptians get close to you, I've committed suicide. It was either the water or the Egyptians. I got so scared. You didn't even give God a chance. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying you got to dull the effects of fear. Because if you're feeding into your fear, then it's going to make you take your eyes off Jesus. And that's what Satan wants you to do, okay?
Amen.
So here it is. And it says, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the image of gold I set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
You either do this, what God's going to be able to help you? If you're not a fireman, what God can help you? If you don't have this job, is there a God that can rescue you? That's basically what he's saying, right? And this is not about a job. This is like, can he rescue you out of the fiery burning furnace that I'm going to throw you into? Not, you know, you can go look for another job, because they had great jobs. Okay, but what God can rescue you? Immediately, as a born-again Christian, you need to take that challenge. I believe my God can rescue me.
Yep.
I believe my God can step in and do great things for me. And by your faith, God will do it. But let's listen to this. It said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to save us from it. Is God able?
Yes, he is.
And he will rescue us from your hands, O king. But if he does not, we want you to know, O king, we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. That's bold. I trust God, and no matter what you say you're going to do to me, I'm going to trust God. Some of us will be able to do that. Some NFL coaches have quit their jobs. They said, no, I'd rather go sell insurance than take that thing. Because even the honest report, now, this is the lie report, but the honest report that says only 6,449 people have actually died from it since we started it in December. That's what the WHO report is. But when does only 6,000 people not matter?
Right.
If I had a product that killed 6,000 people, I'd be in prison.
Right.
So I'm just trying to say, look, You're not being told the truth. We know that it's a fear and it's among us, but we're living in this world. We're living in Babylon. And they're telling you, bow down. When the music starts, bow down. And now you have to make a choice as a born again, believing Christian. Now, I don't have to be angry at you. If I'm God, I don't have to be angry because I know the situation you're living in.
Yeah.
I can be more proud of you if you take a stance, but I can't be angry at you if you don't.
Right.
You understand? And this is what the Lord is saying. If someone says, I want to stand for God, I'm going to step in and do it. If someone says, I don't trust that God can do anything for me in this situation, or you're just scared, you don't know if it'll happen or not, you know, like, because living, you know, the worst thing for people to do when you're a born again Christian is to say, just have faith.
Yeah.
If people say that, you know what I know? You've never been through nothing.
Right. Right.
Just have faith is not, oh, just have faith. No. That's like, just get the boulder off your leg.
Right.
You know what I mean? Having faith, it takes a lot of energy. It hurts. You can be up all night having faith. You're looking out the window every 5 minutes to see if your car's there. Because you got faith that God can. But you don't know if they're going to take it or not. But I got faith that God, because you know I need my car for my job. So I'm having faith. But you know what? It takes faith to come home and park that car where somebody can get it.
That's right.
And it'll keep you up all night. Drea had me tell the people that we were living at the apartment, we're moving, and we haven't even got the money to go to pay for the new place we're going to. Then she leaves and goes on vacation to Seattle. I'm at home packing. I'm at home packing boxes. Because this is what happened. We both drove in front of the condominium, in front of the beach, and because we didn't have the money, and we prayed together. We locked hands.
Yeah.
Lord, we know you can do all things in Jesus' name. We're just so young, right? We can do all things in Jesus' name, and we thank you for that place and for our furniture being in there. In Jesus' name, amen. She gets on a plane, goes to Seattle. They call me and say, you need $10,000 more to move in. So now do I call her and go, our prayer didn't get answered? No, because my stuff's already packed. Somebody else is going to move in the place we just got. And I'm sitting here with a house full of packed furniture and no money to go to the other place. I go to work, right? I pray, like, Lord, I don't know what to do, but please. I go and I'm telling somebody about this condo we want to buy. It's on the beach and blah, blah, blah. The owner of the casino hears me and says, wow, that sounds good. I'll give you the money to move in.
Oh, wow.
We'll just take like 50 bucks out of your check, you know, a month or something like that. But I would love for that to happen for you. My God is able, right? He just overheard me. I'm just meeting him. He just overheard me and gave me the money. I go pay the money, and then we move in. Drea comes back. I don't even tell her. She just moves in. Oh, it's just so beautiful. Isn't it way great how God works? I was stressed. You understand? Faith is not easy.
That's right.
You want to get healed, and you're in pain every day, and you're like, Fred Price's wife was wonderful. When she had cancer, she stood up every day and said, My God is able. He's going to heal me.
Yes.
And I love my Lord Jesus because he paid for my healing.
Yes.
And she was in the middle of chemo and going through all of this stuff,
yes,
getting skinnier and skinnier every day. I thought, ooh, she don't look too good today. My God is able.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was saying, and then she got healed and she's still here.
Mm.
And her husband's like 84 and passed, but she's still here. But I'm saying what comes out of your mouth and what you believe in, the
yeah,
fear and
yeah,
all of this pays a big weight into what happens and what's going on.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to say, my God is able.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, listen, if you don't say my God is able, we have a wonderful parent that goes, that's okay. You just ain't there yet.
Not there yet.
But I love you. Okay?
Amen.
Now watch
Amen.
This.
Beautiful.
Where are we at here? Okay, where are we at here? It says, furious. Was it 19?
Yeah.
Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing fire. So these men were wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound, thrown into the blazing furnace. The king commanded, command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot that the flame of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the guys who were supposed to throw them in, they got burnt to death because it was so hot. And these 3 men were firmly tied and fell into the blazing furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked the advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and threw in the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like the Son of God. So he looks down in the thing and he sees 4 people walking around in the fire. And they're not even tied up anymore, and they're walking around as if nothing is happening. If we read further, he say they, when they came out, they didn't even smell like they'd been near a fire. They didn't even smell like they had smoke on them. Who's the 4th guy walking around?
Jesus.
The 4th guy is walking around in the fire with him, or with them. Now listen, if God is in the middle of something, you know it can't burn up.
Correct.
Did you know that? The burning bush should have been burnt up, but who was in the middle of it talking?
God.
So it couldn't burn up. Know why? God's in the middle of it. Little marriage note, Ish and Isha is 2 fires. That means you're really made, a husband and wife is really made to destroy each other. So that's why marriages don't work. But if you put God in the middle of it, you can survive.
Yeah.
So if you trying to get married and you don't want to have the commander over fire living inside of you, Ish and Isha, which is man and woman, which means female fire and fire, you can destroy each other because you were made to destroy. You weren't made to get along.
Mm.
But when Jesus comes into the marriage, he controls the fire. And then you can in harmony get along with each other. So people trying to leave Jesus out of their marriage is just saying you want to be destructive.
Wow.
So all of this is what's going on. God is walking around in the fire. They come out of the fire. Let me see. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked, what they're for? Okay. King Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. See, because I was eating lunch, right? And I needed $10,000 to move into a place, and I had $160. But somebody overheard me and said, I'll give you the money. See, because if you guys don't understand God, you won't understand that he will step in at the last moment. Now, I wish God wasn't so dramatic. Do we really need the drama? Can't you just do it? You know what I mean? Before all of this, before the COVID, you better get it. Can't you just rapture us out? Wouldn't that be beautiful? But remember what he said in Deuteronomy. I took you through the wilderness to test you, to see whether you would trust me, whether you would keep my command. I'm taking you through. So we're going through this as brothers and sisters in Christ. And you better not go through this telling other brothers and sisters in Christ, you lost your salvation.
Right.
Because you were scared. But me, I'm a super Christian.
Super Christian.
Here, let me show you the S on my, you wrote that S. So we have to be more sensitive to each other in this horrible situation. Let's go to Romans chapter 8.
15.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. That's more than enough time, I believe. Imagine that. You cross through the Red Sea. You get on the other side, and the testing starts. There's no water to drink. There's no food to eat. You understand? That's testing. You might start yelling at Moses. Like, at least there was water in Egypt. At least there was meat in Egypt. But what did God do? Hit a rock, gave him water, had birds fall out of the sky right into the camp, right? Now, he could have had them leave Egypt and then the birds just fall the first day, then give them a chest to keep it in and, you know, with ice. God could have did whatever he wanted. You understand? Don't think we're going through this because, you know, God can't do it now. He could do it if he wants. But we're in this test, and we're all in this test together. And if we're not praying for each other, and if we're complaining about each other and calling each other names, that's not the way to go through a test.
That's right.
So, in Romans chapter 8, and I believe we're in chapter verse 27. Let's go to verse 27. And it says, and he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So in all things, see, this is all going to work out good.
Yeah.
We might even have a laugh in heaven.
Yeah.
We might have a laugh. Somebody might get up and say, I brought a mask just to put it on to make a joke. I mean, you have to understand that God already, you know, it's amazing that God has your rescue already planned, but he doesn't reveal it until the end.
Right.
It's like, come on. You know what I mean? It would be wonderful for God to just do it. But the testing is, do you trust God? You're going to have to trust God. You understand? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to walk away from things just to trust God.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're in a relationship and God will say, "If I can't even give you anything because you're in a relationship with somebody you're not supposed to be in a relationship. You need to trust me, walk away from it, then I can bless you." You know, sometimes in life you just have to trust God. Yeah. You understand? And it's not the easiest.
Amen.
I'm not one of them. Just have faith, people, mm-hmm. because they ain't never been through nothing.
Hello.
Listen to this. I'm going to stop talking so much, Pastor Nate. It says, for those who God foreknew, he also predestined. And to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those who he predestined, which is the church, he called. He didn't predestinate us individually. He predestinated Israel to be saved, mm-hmm. and he predestinated the church to be saved.
Yes.
Individually, if you hear the call and you get in it, you're a part of a predestined plan.
Yes.
Because God don't choose individuals he like and choose other people he don't like.
Right.
Okay. It says in verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? I hope it's not any of us. Because you can't condemn nobody, right?
Amen.
Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Is there trouble going on right now?
Yeah.
You still in Christ.
Yeah.
You understand? The most incredible thing is the one who created all of this, you're still in his hand and he haven't forgot about you. And he's not up there and he's not forgetful minded. And the scripture says he does not slumber or sleep in your situation.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, or famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us.
Yeah.
I screamed at home when I read that, but y'all might not be as excited as me. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Last word, that is in Christ Jesus. If you jump out, good luck.
Right.
If you say you don't need Jesus anymore, he can't do nothing for you, good luck. But if you are in Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. nothing can separate you from his love, and nothing can separate you from his power to act in your situation.
Yes.
So I trust God. In this whole matter, I'm trusting God. They keep telling me everything that's going to happen to me. Every day, they're going to come and get my kids. They're going to lock them up. The zombies are going to be at my door next week. The super spreaders are coming. You might die. All of this stuff. If I die, you know what happens? I go to Hawaii on vacation in heaven, right? You know what I mean? It's like, you're going to have to do more to stress me out because I'm in Christ.
Right.
all this little stuff you're talking about is not going to get me stressed out and can't sleep over worldly matters, which in fact, I don't live here anyway. I'm just visiting. So we have to understand, look, faith is hard, okay? We're going to have to make decisions. God loves you no matter which decision you make, if you stay in Christ.
Right, right.
You make a fearful decision, God loves you. Like, I'm disappointed, but I love you.
Right.
Right? Right. You make a strong one, I love you and I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's still, I love you, right?
Right.
So we have to understand the situation we're in. This is a hard thing. This is a very hard thing to deal with. Faith is a tough game. I don't know if anybody remember Ronaldo Nunez, a track runner. He wanted to play football because he was fast. He ran track. And he thought, well, since I can't run track, I think I'll go play football. But he didn't understand. Football's a tough game. It looks good only from the sideline. You understand? Once you get out there, things get real nasty. Okay? Faith is like this. You understand? Mm-hmm. You might not have anybody to stand with you.
Right.
But you still got to stand.
Yeah.
It may get rough, but you still got to stand. Understand? Ronaldo, me and my guy, he caught the pass. It looked beautiful. He's in a 49er uniform. And then, boom! Kenny Johnson hit him, he's unconscious, and he never played again.
What?
You know why? He didn't realize that this is a tough game. You come into faith, you come into Christ, and we forget to tell people, welcome to the war. You know what we tell them? Welcome to the wonderful land of Christianity, where all is healed and everything is beautiful. God is going to do wonderful things for you. Yeah, let me tell you something though. Before you make the touchdown, you might get hit a couple of times. Just letting you know. You got to stay in the game though, okay? That's the conversation you got to have with people. You understand? You might get hit, but look, stay in the game. The one who loves you has already predetermined your victory. And how we act on the field and how we act with one another is either disappointing or loving for the Father to be able to hear. I am not going to tell anybody who got the vax that they're not saved. Mm-hmm. It's an evil thing to do.
Horrible thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell anybody who's wearing a mask, oh, you just have no faith. God's a healer. I know. Look at me. Get out of here with all that super whatever you are. Say, how you doing, sister? God bless you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We don't have to put each other down in these last days before we take off.
Right.
And do what the enemy wants us to do. You understand? Let's remain in faith, remain in love, because that's what Christians do. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.